My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sunday night gathering here on CBS Sports Radio. Jody Mack coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. All right, Major League Baseball is our next topic of discussion. We're going to do just that. One of the best in the business, been writing about all things MLB and Hall of Fame. For years, Jay Jaffe, columnist from Fangraphs.com, jumps aboard with me here on CBS Sports Radio. What do you say, Jay?
Hey, I'm good. It's just back from a couple weeks of vacationing on Cape Cod with my family here, but keeping an eye on the baseball.
Well, I hope you had a good time, but I take it you went to the Cape Cod League doesn't kick until July, does it?
No, it kicked in about mid-June. We went to one game and would have gotten to more if we'd had the time. It was a lot of fun.
Nice. Oh, well, I'm glad you saw it. Many moons ago, loved going to the Cape Cod. I went up for a bunch of vacations in a row, and that's nice. Some of the most fun baseball you can watch with real bats. Yes, wood bats. All right, Jay, my first question for you today is a Hall of Fame question because someone put it to me yesterday, knew I was going to have you on today. So I said, let me let Jay get his jaws out and give me a better insight than I would have. Was a Cardinal fan, and we both agreed Albert Pujols is a lock. First ballot, and I'm sure you and I have had this discussion before. What does first ballot mean to you?
First ballot's the guy who's a no-brainer. I don't really... To me, I don't think there's I think there's too much emphasis put on the first ballot distinction, but a guy like a Pujols who's got like the obvious milestones is an easy. It's easy to imagine him getting in on the first ballot with 90-something% of the vote. I mean, I don't see where there's any real argument against him based on what he's accomplished. It's not like he's got a major scandal hanging over his head.
Right.
Or some question about the validity of his accomplishments. I mean, 3,000 plus hits, 600 plus home runs, a very select group of players that he's in there.
You and I see it exactly the same. Albert's a lock, and too much emphasis put on first ballot. He's going to get in first ballot, and he deserves to get in first ballot, but those who won't vote for someone on the first ballot just because it's the first ballot is ridiculous. All right, so we're the same there. The other two I have are also Cardinals. Cardinal fan checked in last night and wanted to get my take on Yadier Molina and Adam Wainwright. And I kind of hedged on both. I said, I think that Yadi will get in. Don't know if I'd vote for him. And I said, Wainwright, I would have to do a lot more work on Checker's numbers. Off the top of my head, I said, I doubt I would vote for him, but I'm not going to definitively say no. What do your numbers say if you have crunched them on both Yadi and Wainwright?
Yeah, I have on both. And I think with Yadi and Molina, if you're just going by the numbers that are on Baseball Reference, which don't include pitch framing, Molina looks like he's short because, while he's got the longevity and certainly a big part of several championships and World Series teams in St. Louis, his offensive numbers just don't measure up to those of the catchers in the Hall of Fame. However, over the last decade plus, we've been able to measure the impact of pitch framing. And once you account for that, Yadi Molina, to me, is, I think, a plausible Hall of Famer. I don't know if I would say a slam dunk, but it seems pretty clear to me that he is one of the best pitch framers of this generation. I think Buster Posey and Yadier's own brother Jose are probably the two best besides him, maybe Russell Martin and Brian McCann as well for stretches. I think once you take that into account, I think he's probably a Hall of Famer. I don't think he's a guy who's going to get in on the first ballot necessarily, but I think that he's somebody who's more likely to go in than not. He's been talked about over the last half decade as a future Hall of Famer within the industry, and that tends to indicate, I think, the way that some of the senior voters in the BBWAA are leaning. So I suspect he gets in. As for Wainwright, look, I have great respect for what Adam Wainwright has done in his career. He's come back from numerous injuries. He's been a staple, again, of some World Series teams, helped the Cardinals win a World Series as a closer. But I see him as short of the Hall of Fame. He's nearing 200 victories, but really only has about 2,500 innings. That's pretty low total for a Hall of Famer. And unless you're a lights-out, high strikeout guy, low ERA guy, I think it's very tough to make that case. This is a guy who's never won a Cy Young Award. He had four top three finishes, nothing to sneeze at. But he's also had a lot of missed time. And that, unfortunately, I think, has prevented him from putting up the numbers that really give him a very strong case. I think, we're going to struggle to find Hall-worthy pitchers in this cohort here. It seems pretty clear to me that, Clayton Kershaw, Justin Verlander, Zach Greinke, and Max Scherzer are Hall of Famers. All of those guys are former Cy Young winners, most of them with more than one. Beyond that, and CC Sabathia from who just retired a couple years ago, I don't know who else gets in from this era as a starting pitcher. I think Wainwright is a guy who's plausible, but I just think he's got too much of an uphill battle with those low career totals.
It's going to get very hard to find Hall of Fame starting pitchers going forward. You and I agree on that. All right, Dad, let's get it on to the diamond, or let's go to the dugout first. Yesterday, Tony La Russa came out, and I applaud Tony for being upfront about his stance that he and the organization have taken about the White Sox going forward, better than having to explain after the fact. He said, let's get out in front of this. He has told several of his players that if they hit routine ground balls, he doesn't want them busting at the first base. He wants them to jog it out because they've had so many leg injuries in Chicago this year. I comprehend it. I know where it's coming from. I still don't like it a little bit that you're not going full bore when you're trying to win a game. I know that it is now spread across all sports. Basketball has maintenance days. NFL has negotiated less practice time than ever before. So everyone is more injury conscious than we've ever seen. But can you do it on the field of play and just say, don't try your hardest?
Well, I'm not sure if the message is don't try your hardest so much as be judicious as to when you exert max effort. I don't always agree with Tony La Russa. I agree with him on this. I think so much of that busting it down to first base on a routine grounder is eyewash. It's hustle that's done for the sake of appearances rather than to gain any real competitive advantage because it's just playing to the to the cheap seats is looking busy without necessarily improving your odds. For years in New York City, this was talked about, in particular with the context of Robinson Cano, and I think for the most part, it's kind of a giant nothing burger. I don't think it matters. I think it's much more important. And you look at the White Sox lineup. These guys have been decimated by injuries. They've played 70 games as a team. They've got one player with more than 60 games played, and that's Jose Abreu. Everybody else has missed time due to injuries, most of them leg injuries. Guys like Luis Robert and Tim Anderson. If you don't have these guys in the lineup, you wouldn't win at anything. And the White Sox are not even above 500. So I think I'm with La Russa on this one.
All right. I am not, but that's okay. We can have varying and different opinions. I want to ask you about the Dodgers, who are right there with the Mets' best record. Padres just off their flank, so they're going to have to do work in the National League West this year. They've got the highest payroll in baseball. We'll catch them on Sunday Night Baseball tonight against the Braves. But they're going to secondary guy. Tony Gonsolin, Cy Young candidate? Really? Guys coming out of their pen that had mediocre careers elsewhere, they go to L.A. and all of a sudden they're getting guys out left, right, and center. I know the Dodgers have the superstar talent, the Mookie Betts, the Freddie Freeman signing during the offseason, Trey Turner, but they also have a lot of other guys who step in and contribute big time for them. How are the Dodgers pulling this off?
Well, they've got a first-class coaching staff and analytics department, and they and their ability to bridge that gap to say, hey, you know, if you throw this pitch more, or if you maybe can get this pitch to do this, you can be very you could be more effective, and that's essentially what they've done with some of these guys. I mean, Tyler Anderson has improved by emphasizing his changeup. This is a guy who'd had, you know, I think modest success knocking around the league, and suddenly. He's come to the Dodgers and unlocked success like never before. Tony Gonsolin was always a guy who'd been successful for the Dodgers, but only in short bursts. I mean, he's had some injuries. He was at his best, I think, in the shortened 2020 season. He's got an earned run average of below 250 in about 210 career innings. So when he's been available, he's been great. But, you know, the Dodgers have never built him up to a full workload, and that's really been, you know, all that's separating him from being a rotation staple. We saw what they did with Julio Urias, who came up at a very young age and then injured his shoulder. It took them years to build him up to a full starter's workload, and he became very effective once they did. Gonsolin's kind of following that same path, and they've had some success with guys in the bullpen as well in terms of emphasizing this pitch or that. Evan Phillips, you know, a journeyman who came over from Tampa Bay, is another good example of one in the bullpen, and likewise this new kid Yency Almonte that they got from the Rockies.
All right, let me ask you about a former Dodger pitcher who's doing well again. I think it's the fourth time he's been through Boston. Don't know. It's either three or four times. But he's been pitching forever. 42-year-old Rich Hill got a win for the Red Sox again today. They've got a little Dodgers in them. They've got their superstar players. They've got a large payroll. We know who the stars are, but they're also getting other guys to step in and contribute. How much should a manager get credit for that when a guy like Rich Hill steps up and all of a sudden is winning games for the Red Sox?
I mean, I don't know that that takes anything that reflects anything special on a manager. Rich Hill's a guy who's been, you know, a very good pitcher for a long time. He's actually, his numbers this year haven't been so good, but he's 42. He's still throwing pretty well, and he's got his good days, and that's why the Red Sox signed him in the first place. I think the fact that the Red Sox have come back from a pretty big hole. What were they, below 10 games below 500 early in the year, and now they're about 10 games above 500. So, that to me is more what I would point to as being, something that's worth crediting for the manager, is that he's kept this team from giving up on itself. When the situation was dire. Yeah, they started the year 10-19, 9 games below 500, and now they're 10 games above 500 here. So, pretty impressive job.
It really is, and they've moved into second place in the American League East, trailing the Yankees, who got a win today against the Astros. They dropped a couple in a row, beat them up on Thursday. Astros come back at a no-hitter, combined no-hitter yesterday, but the Yankees rally, get a win today. Are the Astros the only team that can compete with the Yankees in the American League this year?
Well, they are certainly the strongest team outside the Yankees in the American League. I mean, you know, we've seen the AL East teams beat up on each other. None of them has really put a dent in the Yankees so far. They've handily whipped the Blue Jays and Rays recently. Some nice comeback wins for them in recent weeks. The Astros are the first of the other playoff-bound teams that really gave them a problem, no-hitting them on Saturday, and then taking a no-hitter deep into the game on Sunday as well. And you know, by run differential, they've got the second best in the American League, and we know that they have given the Yankees trouble in short series in the past. So I would say that yeah, they're probably the biggest threat. And when you look at this new playoff structure, the fact that you know they're the other team that would get a first round bye besides the Yankees, that kind of puts them on a collision course in the ALCS if each team holds serve in the earlier rounds.
You've talked about a couple teams that are holding up their end of the bargain in the American League. I want to go the other way. The Angels got off to a real nice start. Everyone getting excited. We're going to get to see Trout in the playoffs. You're going to get to see Ohtani in the playoffs. And they just completely went in the tank, cost Joe Maddon his job. Oh, by the way, they haven't really turned it around. The Phillies, when they fired their manager, at least got hot under their new manager. No such luck for the Angels making their change. Are they a snake-bitten franchise? What's wrong with the Los Angeles Angels?
Well, you know, I think that they had done, they made some good moves in the off season. They've got obviously some nice homegrown players, some nice turnarounds, but that middle infield was garbage from the beginning, unfortunately. And David Fletcher, who had a bad year getting hurt, has only made it thinner. To me, that's the big issue for them is they just don't have a very deep lineup. They've got some very good hitters in there: Trout, Ohtani, Taylor Ward has turned into a very good offensive threat, but Anthony Rendon, that free agent signing has been kind of a disaster. He's out for the season now. Brandon Marsh hasn't given them what they expected after a good year last year. You know, it's just you're only four or five deep in the lineup. You're not going to win many games because there are too many easy outs at the bottom and tough to score runs that way.
And got in a major fight today with the Mariners. We'll see if that shake up the Angels because something's got to do it because they're not doing it on the field. All right, jumping over to the American League, Yankees' best record in Major League Baseball. Mets' best record in the National League. Got another win again today. Oh, by the way, and I know it's great that it's out there for more people to see and more national games. Yeah, I don't get Peacock at noon. I'm sorry. I just I made it over there today, but I missed the first couple innings because I forgot that it's a 12 o'clock start. But the Mets continue to play well. Got beat today by the Marlins, got walked off, but they've still got a 4.5 game lead in the East. Are they going to go wire to wire in that division?
You know, I think it's going to be tough for the other teams to catch them. The Mets built such a nice lead, and the Braves cut into it. But you know, they had to win 14 in a row to get back into it. The Phillies are now looking at life without Bryce Harper for a while. Looks like the Braves are going to be without Ronald Acuna Jr. for a little bit here. He's banged up. You know, that the Mets have done what they've done with nothing from Jacob deGrom and with only about half of the season to date from Max Scherzer is pretty remarkable. This is a very deep and resilient team from what we've seen so far. And Scherzer's on his way back. DeGrom's, you know, allegedly on his way back as well. I think by the second half here, by the start of the second half, this is a team that's going to look very strong here with the pitching that they've got in place.
Nice when you can add two Cy Young Award winners in the middle of the season. Yes, that's a major plus for the Mets. You mentioned Bryce Harper and your injury suffered last night. I was watching it when it happened. Knew he was hurt. He just went down like in a pile, and he's screaming and yelling at the pitcher saying, "I know you didn't hit me on purpose," but he was just so frustrated. Didn't have to wait for the x-ray. I knew that his thumb was broken. 8 weeks, 10 weeks, 12 weeks, don't know how long. Give me a little crystal ball on the Phillies. They were all in this year. Signed Schwarber, signed Castellanos, first time to the luxury tax and above it. They look like they were all in. That's Dombrowski's M.O. What do they do by the time the trade deadline rolls around? Is it all still up in the air depending on what the standings say? Is he laying the groundwork to try and add a big piece to either weigh off the loss of a Harper, or could the Phillies actually go into seller mode?
You know, I'm not sure yet. I think this is a team that is just so poorly built. I mean, it just, even with Harper as an outfielder, it was pretty clear that this defense wasn't going to cut it because they were always going to have either Kyle Schwarber or Nick Castellanos in an outfield spot. Now they've got both of them in outfield spots. Alec Baum at third base is a pretty bad fielder. D.D. Gregorius at shortstop is not a good fielder. Rhys Hoskins at first base is not a good fielder. This is a team that's trying to win with about four DHs on the field. They've got good starting pitching, and that's going to keep them relevant. The bullpen has been something of a mess. I don't know. They have some desirable pieces, but I don't see how you can easily blow it up when you've got the big salaries that they've got. You know, this is a team that I think is just going to have to hope that they get hot for a few weeks there, you know, late in the year when they've got people healthy, and hope that the starting pitching holds out. You know, they don't have a farm system to speak of, so it's not like you're going to have a lot of ammunition to go make the big deadline deals that other teams can do. You're not going to acquire Max Scherzer with the talent that's in this organization.
All right, we're about a week away from some of the teams reaching the 81-game mark, which, of course, be halfway through the season. Who's better, the Brewers or the Cardinals? Because they're running neck and neck and have been for about a week to 10 days now. Those two have kind of distanced themselves from the other teams in the Central, as expected. Who's the better team?
Well, you know, for most of the season, I would have said the Brewers, but their starting pitching took some hits there. With the losses of Freddie Peralta and then Brandon Woodruff, and you know, it's tough to withstand those kind of blows when they come 1-2, because suddenly you're picking up your next starter at the bus station and you don't know who he is. They had a very strong big three for starters last year in Burns, Woodruff, and Peralta, and to just have only one of them, Burns, helping you, you know, is a real blow. So I would say right now the Cardinals are the stronger team. They've done a nice job of overcoming a slow start. Their middle infield shuffled, sending Paul DeJong down to AAA, and eventually bringing up Nolan Gorman, their top prospect, has paid off pretty well. Paul Goldschmidt's having a remarkable year, another guy from the Cardinals, so I'm surprised your friend didn't ask you about when it comes to the Hall of Fame discussion, because his credentials are starting to come into focus a little bit. This is a team that has proven to be rather resilient. They've got some holes in the starting pitching because they've got a couple of injuries there at the back of the rotation in Steven Matz and Jordan Hicks. But if they can patch those, they are, I think, probably the team that's going to come out of this on top.
All right, last thing for you, and you've been doing it for a while, so I'm just getting an updated opinion as to where you're at. The All-Star Game means what?
To me, the All-Star Game is an entertaining exhibition. I think it's a reward for players having a good strong run. It's nice for the fans to see all these guys in one place. I think when you would combine it with the Home Run Derby and the Futures Game, it's a good showcase for baseball. It doesn't have a tremendous amount of meaning. The fact that there's year-round interleague play, I think, reduces some of the mystery about seeing the stars from the other league. But it's a good time, and I enjoy watching it, and I enjoy every year seeing the grinders who suddenly have broken through to have their all-star season, or the guys who bounced back from injury to have their all-star seasons. I think, you know, there's some rewarding personal interest stories there, but I don't attach a great deal of import to it. And I don't think that, I think it was right to disconnect the home field advantage in the World Series from the result of the all-star game.
Certainly agree with that. And oh, by the way, I asked the same question of Tyler Kepner yesterday. That's why I said what I did. I wanted to get his take on the All-Star game. And that's why I asked you, Jay Jaffe. I know you'll be there. I appreciate you coming on board with me tonight. Enjoy yourself in the second half of the season. We'll get you on again.
All right. Sounds great. Thanks a lot.
That is Jay Jaffe, MLB columnist for Fangraphs.com. Great stuff on the Hall of Fame. Yeah, I didn't even think of Goldschmidt. See, it was a Cardinal fan who called me yesterday, so he doesn't consider Goldschmidt a long-term Cardinal yet. Oh, he'll get back to me in a couple years. Hey, how about Goldschmidt for the Hall of Fame? And I'll tell him Jay Jaffe is leaning in that direction. Jody Mack here with you on CBS Sports Radio. I got the phones reopening next. 855-212-4227. Get you on with the Mac, man.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northside's and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.